Hello, hello, Internet! Today is August 26, 2011, and you are listening to No Free Rides, a podcast bringing you discussion on real-life issues when living with a disability. This show is brought to you by EasyStand, the manufacturers of quality standing frames. You can learn more about the most popular standing frames on the market at EasyStand.com. That's EasyStand.com. And my name is Tiffany Carlson, and I'm the host of this show. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is, I can't even remember what episode this is, but we're probably well into our 60th-something show. And thank you. If this is your first time listening, you know, hope you enjoyed today's show. It's going to be about an hour long. And we have a really, really cool guest on the show today. Fascinating. Her name is Tamara Mena, and she is a spinal cord injury survivor. She's a model, and she is also an ambassador for E-Legs, which are a mechanical walking suit, also known as an exoskeleton. They've been all over the news, and she's lucky enough to be able to wear them. She's got the body type that they're looking for. You have to be short, actually, to try out the test version right now, and so she's 5'2", so we'll have her on the show. She's going to be sharing with us, you know, just a lot about her life, and it's a really great conversation, so hold tight, and she'll be on in a little bit. But first, everybody, how the heck did late summer kind of just all of a sudden rear its ugly head? Because I don't know about you, but I felt like it was just the 4th of July, 2 days ago. It's sad, because when you live in Minnesota, that means, you know, summer's almost over, and then winter's going to be here, and that's 7 months of winter. I'm not going to complain. I choose to live here. But late summer is here, you know, and late summer, it always reminds me of two things. The Minnesota State Fair and breaking my neck. It's weird, but it's true. So, you know, the State Fair in Minnesota. It's beautiful. It's great. I went yesterday. It runs for 2 weeks. It's a celebration of greasy food. It's a grand celebration. It's like Guy Fieri's Big Bite on the Food Network on steroids. And everywhere you walk, there's the most amazing, delicious thing you've never even heard of that you want to eat right now. And it's great, except for the fact, well, you know, you get stared at a lot. It's a lot of people there, and you're there to eat, and you're also there to people watch, and people are watching you, and you're also watching people. And it's always a strange thing when you have a disability, when you use a wheelchair, and you go out in public, and people stare at you. And what do you do? You try not to let it bug you, and you try to have a good time, and that's what I had to focus on. It was an interesting experience yesterday. And also, there's a ton of people in wheelchairs that go to the State Fair. And a lot of group homes bring their group home residents to the State Fair. The State Fair is just a popular place for people in wheelchairs. So it's like kind of cool, you know? You don't feel like you're quite the minority when you're at the State Fair. It's nice. And I also discovered this really old ride is now wheelchair accessible. It's called the Space Needle. You ever heard of these? It's like a long needle that goes up in the sky, and there's a rotating cab that goes around it, and it goes all the way to the top, and then you go goes all the way down. You can see the whole fair from the top. Well, it's now they have a ramp, so I can roll right on it. And how cool is that? It's a ride that I used to love going on as a kid, and I have this awful memory of my dad carrying me and bringing me on it right after I broke my neck, and just being super embarrassed, and everybody like seeing me getting lifted. And so I've never been on it, and that was several years ago. So I went on the Space Needle again, and I was with my little cute three nieces at the State Fair, and they're all under the age of 4, mind you, so imagine how adorable they are going on the Space Needle. So it was really fun, and I just rolled right on, and no problems. And the State Fair, you know, it's a good place to eat a lot of food. If you'd like to go to the State Fair in Minnesota, you should also consider my food suggestions. You should get the pickle dog on a stick, which is a pickle wrapped in salami and cream cheese, and it's really spicy and delicious. At least the new spicy pickle dog this year is spicy. You should consider that. They also have a Belgian waffle on a stick dipped in chocolate with whipped cream and sprinkles on it. It's divine. It's called the Fudge Puppy, and oh my god, I love it so much. Food is one of the things that's made me so happy since I broke my neck. You know, you lose a lot of sensations when you have a spinal cord injury. And it's a bit unfair, and you have to, of course, be careful not to overeat when you have a spinal cord injury because you're sitting all the time, but flavors, it's all about flavors. And, you know, and my accident also happened this time of year. There's State Fair, and then, I broke my neck. And, you know, it's my 18th anniversary. It was yesterday. And I should have thrown a party, a self-indulgent party to celebrate. I mean, why not, you know? I should have thrown, like, a donut and cheese party or a jello shot and hot tub party. Oh, you know, maybe next year. There's always another anniversary injury thing coming up. That's the sad part. But at least we're alive, and that's what you should do when your injury anniversary rolls along, is to celebrate the fact that you survived. And don't focus on the negative. It's only going to drive you crazy, all right? So, and also, I want to talk about this really great fashion tip before I bring on Tamara. And it's duct tape, of course, with your sandals. When you have slippery soles on your shoes, I recently have been doing this really cool thing where I take duct tape and I roll it up and stick it underneath my shoe. And voila, it sticks to my foot plates, and I don't have to worry about my shoe slipping off unbeknownst to me and my foot dragging. The duct tape is a quick, easy fix, and I need to start using duct tape more. And also, I recently spray painted my chair again. And do you spray paint your chair? If not, and if you've had your chair for a long time and doesn't have a custom paint job to start out with, you should think about it. My chair's all black, and I got it in 2005, and that paint job has not held up very well. So twice a year, I hire my PCA's boyfriend to spray paint my chair all wet black, super classy. Then I get a silver spray paint and spray the rims. And oh my God, seriously cool. And what you should, you know, remember to always make your chair as cool looking as possible in the least loud way. So that's my advice to you guys today. So just hold on one second, and I will be bringing on Miss Tamara Mena. Hey everybody, today is a beautiful day, and I am so excited for today because we have the gorgeous, the accomplished Tamara Mena from California, and who just, yes, she happens to be in a wheelchair, but she's so much more, and I'm so excited to have her. So without further ado, hello Tamara, welcome to No Free Rides.
Hi, I'm so excited.
Hello, gosh.
This opportunity.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for being on the show. I know that you're super busy and probably doing a lot of stuff now that you just graduated from college. So thank you for being here. So, you know, I like I mentioned, you know, you use a wheelchair, but, you know, you have a spinal cord injury, and you're a spinal cord injury survivor, and that's a huge accomplishment. You know, you're a T2 paraplegic, and you were injured in 2005, and, you know, you're in a car accident, right?
Yes, car accident. It was a very freaky car accident. You know, if I don't want to get into it, I just say car accident, but that I feel like that doesn't do justice to what happened. I was in a taxi going to Mexico, Rosarito, Mexico, just for the night. I lived in San Diego, so it was, you know, very common to just go for the night to party and then come back, and we didn't want to drink and drive. And I say we, it was my boyfriend Patrick at the time and four of our friends.
Okay.
We were on our way there, but we never got there. Unfortunately, there was a horse standing in the middle of the road. And because it was dark, and by the time the taxi driver saw the horse, it was just too late. So we struck the horse, and the horse fell on top of the roof, crushed the roof all the way down to seat level.
Wow.
And it truly is a miracle. Every time I say it, I'm just so thankful and grateful, because if you try to visualize the roof on my side crushed down all the way down to seat level, and to know that I survived, it's just a miracle. The taxi driver didn't make it, and Patrick was killed instantly.
Oh, it's so sad.
Unfortunately, he was a lot taller than me, so when the horse is crushed the roof, it was instant. But he protected me, and he pushed me down, so kind of tucked me in, and therefore the weight of the horse fell on my back. That's how my back was fractured. And I had multiple fractures, long collapse and clavicle, shoulder, facial fractures.
It's amazing that you survived. It's amazing you survived. That's crazy. When your accident happened, and did you think you were gonna make it? I mean, a lot of people have that moment right when it happened. Like, did you have in your death experience?
No, I wish I had a really cool story about I saw the light or something like that, but I don't. I just remember instantly feeling that I, you know, right. lost sensation. I couldn't feel my legs anymore, and wow. I remember kind of saying that out loud, that I couldn't feel my legs, and then my back hurt, and that's really all I remember. Yeah. I can't even picture knowing. I don't remember knowing that Patrick was dead either.
Oh.
I think I blocked that, which only makes sense.
Were you in Mexico when the accident happened, right?
Yeah, so it was in Mexico. Yeah, we were almost to Rosarito, so somewhere in between Tijuana and Rosarito. And this horse, just if you're wondering, because they rent the horses down at the beach.
Oh.
This horse escaped. There shouldn't have been a horse there. He escaped.
That's crazy.
The fence was down wherever this horse was.
Oh, my God.
So
this crazy horse was running in the streets.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I guess the lights, the headlights weren't working very well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that didn't help us out.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, why? And with the speed, we were going pretty fast. So it just,
crazy.
Yeah, recipe for disaster.
Wow.
It was one of those nights that I had a feeling that, because I worked that night, and I knew I was going to go on that trip. I just knew. I even asked them to wait for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something that I would be able to go on this trip, and that was Patrick's probably one of the happiest nights ever in his life, because I was able to get off, and we were off to have, you know, a great time, and so I have those memories. It was, like, one of the happiest days of his life.
Wow.
I think that's what gives me a lot of peace.
How long did you and Patrick date before the accident happened?
We had been dating for over 3 years, and we were kind of that couple that people thought, you know, oh, they're for sure going to get married, you know, high school sweethearts type of thing. We're both going to school, so he was, ironically enough, he wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon.
Really?
And so we were both very driven. So Patrick's, but he lived a very intense life, so his motivation and drive is one of the things that I caught on, and I always saw myself as a survivor, never as a victim, because I felt if Patrick, he didn't have a second chance, I did, so I was going to make it count. I wasn't going to complain if I could not walk or whatever it was, because he didn't get that chance.
Yeah.
Thanks to him, I did. So no matter what, I would make it a good one, and you know, go back to school and do everything I wanted to do.
That's good. I mean, and that's what he probably would have wanted you to do as well. I mean, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it was tricky because I tried to live for him, and I had to realize I can't live for Patrick as much as I wanted to. I could only live for myself, but I could use his motivation and picture him smiling down on me, and that really helped me, you know, all throughout my, I guess, my college years, and to always know that I would get there.
Well, you know, it's always so hard. You hear a lot of people that when they get injured, they'll lose a family member in an accident. It happens in a lot of car accidents, and I think that would be the only good solace that, you know, comes from it. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, like, you have to live on for them, because, you know, that's this very awful, hard situation.
And, you know, if I could do anything, of course I would want to bring him back.
Oh, gosh.
Cannot. But one thing I can tell you is it's been a blessing, because I actually, when people only get injured, they say they have a spinal cord injury, and all they have to focus on are their legs, I mean, that's all you're going to focus on, because that's all you lost. Or not all you lost. But for me, the comparison of those losses and that pain really helped me move forward from my own losses. So walking and, you know, my legs ended up, it didn't mean anything in comparison to losing Patrick. So that really actually helped me move forward.
When did you finally realize when you were in rehab that, you know, you probably, you know, weren't going to get the function back that you wanted? A lot of people have that, those few months, you know, where they're hoping and praying that they're going to walk.
Right. You know, I focus so much on Patrick not being there that I almost kind of blocked that, the fact that I couldn't walk. I don't even remember the doctors telling me that I couldn't walk.
Really?
Like, I didn't really care. And I thought eventually it would hit me and I would be devastated and a mess. and it never really happened, thankfully.
It's good.
I did realize I couldn't walk eventually, and it was hard because my roommate got everything back, pretty much.
Really?
And every day, like, she had everything I wanted to have.
Oh, man, that's hard to watch.
Yeah, her boyfriend was with her. Anyway, that was hard, but it actually made me stronger.
Wow.
To accept what I had.
Right. You know, in that situation, too, I kind of had the same thing. But it wasn't a roommate. It wasn't that closely the opposite. But then, of course, you know, you feel lucky. And then when you do meet people, of course, that, you know, are in vents or you hate comparing yourself. But, you know, I try to at least focus on what you have, like you're saying, you know.
Right.
It makes you stronger.
Yeah, I try to focus on the fact that because I actually also had some cervical injury, so I was very close.
Okay.
Becoming a quad.
Yep.
You know, and being in rehab with quads, I really appreciate
it's hard.
My arms.
Yep, having.
We're really high para, so in some ways I relate to a lot of the things.
Well, the balance issue, especially.
Yeah, balance, dysreflexia, like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I know. I think you're, it's the one thing, it's just the hands, but, you know, I have a C6, borderline C7. Would love, of course, to have hands, but you know what? We all have to just be glad. Really, with what we have, you know, for me, my injury could have easily been higher. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I had, you know, the amazing opportunity to recover, like my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't talk for a while.
Oh.
I went through all of that, and that was so hard to go through. So the fact that I can now breathe on my own and I can talk means a lot to me, because at one point it was so frustrating trying to communicate. So now I major in communication studies,
mm-hmm.
and it's a blessing, and I take it very seriously to have a voice, because at one point I didn't have a voice.
Oh, yeah, and there's so much power in having a voice still. I mean, people listen, you know, and you're beautiful, and you're in a wheelchair, and those two things combined are going to get people's attention. You know, and you have a powerful voice, and you can do a lot of good with that, you know. And I think, you know, you've realized that already. You know, you were doing some public speaking and stuff, right?
Thank you. Yeah, public speaking is one of my major passions. I had the great opportunity to be the commencement speaker for my graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you apply for it. It's not something that was just given to me because I'm in a wheelchair and, okay, we'll have the wheelchair girl talk. It was, you know, you just apply, and if the content is good, you make it to the finalists.
Cool.
And you present it in front of a panel, and they chose me. And
that's awesome.
I think it was a speech that I hope to uplift people, but also I was thinking of Patrick, you know, all along there, and celebrating my accomplishments with everybody else, and I got a standing ovation, and I heard some teachers said no student in like 20-something years had received a standing ovation. I think that means more than anything. It's like...
That's huge.
It's huge. If somebody... Because it means even more because I can't stand with them, but they're for me and out of respect, so...
That's great.
A lot to me, public.
And when after, you know, that your rehab experience and first going home, you know, it's always a good, I like to ask people this, like, how this experience was for them, because I think it's the most hardest critical time after you do have a spinal cord injury and you go home. You're just trying to get back into the regular daily life, but you're not walking, and it's so different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How did you, you know, deal with that? You know, everyone has their own coping the ways to cope. You know, what did you find helped, and how did you kind of,
like, walking and stuff like that?
Just going home, you know, and living your life, but going back to your old room, you know, and everything's there, and it's so difficult, you know. Sometimes people want to start fresh somewhere, you know, to kind of get away from memories, you know.
It was really difficult. There was a time that I did hope to walk, and I looked into, you know, whatever was out there that could possibly help people, you know, or get some function back.
Yeah.
And I did travel to Mexico, and I got a surgery. It wasn't really what I thought it would be. The doctor couldn't do more. But after that trip that I took to Mexico, which was about a year and a half after my injury, which, by the way, this year and a half all along, everything I wanted to do in regards to gaining independence and my transfers and get better with all that stuff, it was so I could go back to school. That was my number one priority.
Huh.
But I chose to go on this trip to see if there was something this doctor could do. Mm-hmm. And I think what really helped me, because I grew up in Mexico, I was born and raised there.
That's so cool.
So going back to my roots and seeing that I was still here, it kind of just brought me alive. And after that trip, I came back like full force, and I truly, truly chose to maximize what I had.
That's cool.
Instead of wondering, okay, you know, trying to spend too much hours at therapy for something that may never come. And that's when I went back to school. And I think, I guess school was always my number one motivation, helped me get through my days.
Yep. And of course, this is going to be a topic changer. And of course, not only school, but, you know, let's talk about what else has been probably really wonderful to have in your life is your awesome boyfriend, right?
Yeah. It's been amazing. It wasn't easy for a while. I felt really awkward in certain settings. After Patrick passed away, these guys tried to talk to me. I felt really weird.
That's a good point. Let's talk about that. Yeah, guys coming up to you and you're in a wheelchair. Yeah, how did it's a crazy thing, isn't it? I mean, some guys just don't know what to say, but then they say something stupid, right?
Yeah, but, you know, at first it made me awkward just them coming over to me or trying to be like, hey, I felt like I was cheating on Patrick because in my mind, and obviously my heart was with Patrick, and we never broke up. It's really hard when you're in a relationship with somebody and then they pass. There's no closure, and we weren't planning on breaking up, so it was really hard. But over the time, and then when I started to heal, and I really worked on that, and, you know, definitely went to counseling and really just tried to work on all of that stuff. When I started to, let's say, put myself out there, I noticed that it's just a lot of guys would be like, they would say to my friends or to me, oh, you're beautiful. But I felt like a lot of times it only got to there.
Right.
Wasn't like, I want to get to know you. It's like the chair is very intimidating.
No, it is.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, they might say, oh, she's beautiful. But they don't consider anything else after that. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, it's annoying because you do want to take it to the next level, or maybe you think he's cute, but then I don't know. I just feel like they're too shy, or they want to. Maybe you have to be more aggressive as a female in a wheelchair, so the guys know.
I think you do, and I think I was with Josh. When I met Josh, though, I was very, very comfortable in my own skin. I think that's you have to accept who you are, including the wheelchair, before somebody can truly accept you. And I think that was the key. I was totally like, this is who I am, this is what I do, X, Y, and Z. And I think he was like, okay, that's cool, because if I had been still like, oh my gosh, this is the way I have to live my life, I know that he probably would have felt uncomfortable.
That's a very good point,
I made it comfortable for him, and it was really, really cute. I like to share this because he actually, before we went on like our first like serious date, he researched about spinal cord injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knew about this.
Aww.
Yeah. Of course he didn't.
Wow.
But he knew what I was talking about. That just shows you he was very interested.
That's really cool.
Know about my life, and he's been a major support, and we support each other a lot in great ways. You know, he's not doing me a favor. It's a team, you know. So I don't like to make it sound like, oh yeah, because he's with me because I'm in a wheelchair.
Right.
So it's both ways, you know.
Yeah, well, I know, and I've watched this video of you. I forget, it was a video of you talking about how you were like, you know, if you're going to date a girl in a wheelchair, you got to know that there's always something that's going to come up, so you better get used to it, you know?
Yeah.
And we move a little bit slower than the average girl. It takes us a little bit longer, let's say, go to the bathroom, so you got to be patient, right?
Yeah. So it takes a good guy, but it's not like, you know, they're doing us a favor in any
way. Right.
I mean, a lot of guys, a lot of people in general won't be patient enough. Like I said, it's like, you're beautiful, and that's it. You're beautiful to look at, but, yeah, that's about it.
Yep. It's annoying.
Obviously, there's so much more.
Yeah, there's so much more, and, you know, but, you know, so when you first met your man, what's his name, Ryan?
Josh.
Okay, so Josh, when I always like to, like, the first, when you first met, and you said you were the more aggressive, how did it happen? Like, what was it like? I was like, I love to hear this story.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, I was always more aggressive, like, explaining stuff, or, But no, he definitely made the first movie.
Oh, he did?
So, yeah, he definitely was the first
cute
one interested. We were in a group setting.
Oh, okay.
Like, just one-on-one.
It's so flat. I thought it was so exciting when you first meet someone. Oh, I think it's one of the happiest moments in life is when you first meet someone and you just click, you know, and you know it's super, something really special. It's like the best drug you can get, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's really weird because something clicked between us, but he was too shy.
Oh.
Like, he didn't make a move right away. It was like maybe two months.
Oh, really?
Thinking of me, and then that's when he was like, hey, you know. Yeah, anyway.
Oh, you guys are super cute together, man. I saw some couples of photos of you on your Facebook. Oh, man, you guys are adorable. So, you know, I think that's also really great to see, you know, a woman out there dating, having a wonderful, successful relationship, wheelchair or no wheelchair. And it's a great, you know, we all become kind of people to look up to, even though we don't really intend to, huh? Isn't it strange?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, like, in the most humbling way, like, modeling, I'll be honest with you, when I first went back to modeling, it was one of the first things I did after I got injured,
mm-hmm.
And it's important to say, the first photo shoot I did, like, the wheelchair was not my best friend, it wasn't really around.
Right.
I don't think I was ready for the wheelchair to be in my picture.
Yeah.
After my first photo shoot, it was like, hello, it's part of me.
Yeah.
But anyway, the photos, the images are so powerful, and you know, I'm glad I have a voice now.
Oh yeah.
So images can say so much.
It's so hard
and
though.
Now, over the years, some of like my modeling pictures and seeing the effect it has had on like younger females or like really injured, where they've told me, you know, I've put up pictures of me in my wheelchair because of you, and see that you're proud.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you don't hide the wheelchair. It means so much to me. I didn't know it could have that effect.
That's great. No.
That effect to what you're saying.
I think it's beautiful. And, you know, it's like a strong, empowering thing to get to that moment where, you know, yeah, you know, it's like black girls that wear their hair, you know, all natural and they wear their afros. I'm going to show my wheelchair, you know, and I'm not ashamed of it. It's part of you, you know, and people will sometimes say, oh, you make that wheelchair look sexy, but no, I just look sexy and, you know, wheelchair be damned kind of, you know, but it's a hard thing. You know, when you were injured and you were trying to put on some clothes that you loved before and
it's horrible. I had to get rid of a lot of clothes. You know, when I was standing before, I worked a lot on my abs, so I had a lot of low-rise jeans,
really?
Like more, like shorter, not like a midriff, but shorter shirts.
Yeah.
Now I'm a T2, so I think people who are high paras or quads, I mean, I have kind of like a little pudge belly, like, it's just the shape, it's just because of my level.
Oh, no, you can't help it.
It's not if it's fat or not, it's just the level of my injury and, you know, the way my
muscle.
Anyway, I could not use a lot of the stuff. It just didn't look right, and then I had to find what's right, and
it was
really frustrating.
What did you find that worked? Like, what was, like, some of the first things? Was everything kind of just self-discovery process, you know, hit and misses kind of thing?
Yeah, it was, and it was frustrating for a while, like, just shopping, because a lot of stuff I would think, because I was thinking back of what looked good before, but hello, now not only are you sitting down, anybody, even if you're able, then you have to dress to sit down, it's going to change everything.
Oh,
not only that, you're sitting down now, and parts of your body are paralyzed, so they look different, you know, they're atrophied, so it was, it took some time. Now I think I know what works best for me, and I think the biggest advice would be just find out what works for you, what makes you feel good, you know, and just what makes you feel powerful, or, you know, it's beautiful, because it's not about what works for other people, you just gotta find what works.
You gotta find what works for you, you know, and you gotta find what you feel beautiful in, and you gotta just really take the time to kind of figure it out, and, like, I love showing my shoulders, you know, oh man, I always feel so great when I have something hanging off my shoulder, or if I'm wearing something strapless, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you...
And then jeans, like, of course I would never wear, like, higher ones before. It was like, yeah, show off the tummy.
Yeah.
Now, no, because that only is gonna,
Yep. You got to highlight what you still love about your body, and a lot of girls, you know, you can still look fabulous. And once you have that aha moment where, you know, you realize you can still look really great, you just got to be a little bit cleverer about it, you know. It's hard throwing out those clothes, though. Let me tell you, I had a lot of shoes I had to throw out, and
yes, I had a lot of shoes too that I had to throw out. But you know what? It's at first too. Like later, I found out, oh, I can wear these shoes.
Yeah.
Like, at first, I wasn't sure I could wear heels. I wanted to. It's like yeah. It was a priority, but I didn't. Wasn't sure how.
It's hard to.
Anyway, you learn.
You do, and it's like one of those things where if you wear your beautiful, cool stacked heels, I'll only wear them for a few hours at a night party. I wouldn't wear them all day long because that would just be hell on my ankles, you know.
Yes, me too. So I only wear them for a few hours. Yeah. When the dysreflexes starts to kick in, then I start taking them off.
So are you a big fan of the whole tunic, like, legging trend?
It depends. I like jeggings.
Jeggings?
Jeggings. Those are... I think everybody can relate, you know, with pressure sores, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
It's a long day, and, you know, I don't have a lot of padding, so wearing jeggings is great. Tunics, not that much, just because sometimes they don't look right, or if it's too big, a shirt's too big, it'll rub my tires. And
well, how about the shirts that are just really extra, like the extra long t-shirts they're selling now that go under your butt? Like, I think I found that they make you look so... They can be really, like, elongating and make you look thinner if you grab one of those extra long tank tops and, like, pull it down around your butt a little bit. So it's almost like a short little dress that you wear with your jeggings. I have found it's this optical illusion effect where it's seriously, you should try. I don't know. I love those.
You have to be, like, tight enough that actually fits your body, you know.
Yeah, tight.
Look right. But, it's
too tight. So what about shoes? Because shoes are, like, such a hard thing, you know. I mean, regular, everyday shoes. Like, what do you love? Are you really into the cute little ballet flats? I have, like, probably 10 million pairs of those.
Yeah, flats are great. Although sometimes they make my feet swell up more, so I like sandals a lot.
Sandals
like
are great.
Gladiator type of sandals, because that way they won't fall, you know, when I transfer. I don't have just regular flip-flops. Mm-hmm. All of them are usually...
No.
Hip straps, and then I usually, when I go to work, I usually take some nice little heels, and then I take some other, you know, sandals just to change in and kind of change it up in the middle of the day.
Cool, yeah,
as far
that's
as
cool.
Heels, I try them not to be too high, so I change them up. Like, I'll put them up, you know, set them on my footrest.
Nice.
And then hang the heel.
Well, that's a good idea. See, that's a really good tip. See, everybody, listen to Tamara. She knows what she's doing. It's not easy. You learn the hard way. Like, you know, your foot will end up dragging, or it gets unturned and you don't know it till like 5 hours later. Oh my God, it's so hard. So when you go out looking really great and you're out in public, what are some crazy things people have said to you? They always want to know what happened, don't they? I mean, that's what I always get.
Yes, and it's so funny because if I just say car accident, they almost automatically assume, oh, drunk driver.
It's so annoying. Ugh.
Either if a drunk driver hit me or if somebody was drunk, that's kind of... Or I love that, like, oh, you're so young.
Ugh.
Like, people can't accept, which I understand.
I know.
People can't accept that you're so young and you're in a wheelchair. And
you just try to be gracious. You just try to be gracious, you know. I feel like sometimes people say offensive things without even realizing it. It can be easy to get really offended, but lately, you know, you got to try just to be gracious and realizing that they're not trying to be offensive, you know.
Yeah, I always think back because I'm okay with accepting the fact that I used to be very ignorant. I knew probably nothing about disabilities,
right.
Spinal cord injuries, etc. So I try to give people the benefit of the doubt because I probably would be in their same shoes, you know, if I saw somebody. And it's weird trying to think of a house or something that I went into, walking.
Yeah.
Like things that you didn't think about before, and all of a sudden now you do. But before I didn't, just because kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
I try to understand that people don't know. A lot of times it's ignorance. It's not that they want to be rude. Sometimes it comes off as being rude, but
I always hate when people say, "You look so great for being in a wheelchair." Or,
oh yeah, that's one I don't take as a compliment. Or like, a guy one time said, "Oh, she's pretty for being Mexican."
What?
Of course, I took offense to that. So
wow.
That's something like, "Oh, she's pretty for being in a wheelchair." Oh, you know, I don't know that I like either. Like, people will go like, "Oh, you're the hottest girl I've seen in a wheelchair."
It's so annoying.
Sometimes that really offends
me. It's so annoying. It's like, would you tell a black girl that? "Oh, you're the hottest black girl I've ever seen." I don't know. Maybe. But that's kind of offensive. I don't know how people don't realize that. You know, I guess. I don't know. It's like disability is a whole other, like, it's a whole other minority people can even go that farther on sometimes. I don't know.
No, and the truth is, like, we're probably, like, one of the smallest or the smallest minority.
Yep.
Somebody said this to me, but the minority that everybody at any time can fit into.
Wow, that's really good. That's a really good statement. It's so true. Oh, yeah. It's so true. And, you know, you gotta get a thick skin. That's another important tip when you first learn to have a spinal cord injury. When you do go out, you got to learn to have a thick skin. Otherwise, you're going to be upset all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's important to not take it personal.
Yeah.
The minute you start taking things personal, I mean, it's just everything that everybody says.
Yeah, it's unavoidable. Because the moment you walk out your door, people are going to see someone in a wheelchair. And as much as you don't like people to judge you for being in a wheelchair, it's going to happen, right? And, you know, you don't want to be crabby all the time and be that crabby old lady in a wheelchair. So you gotta learn to roll with it, right? You know,
make it acceptable for people to talk to you, because, you know, people, I understand, you know, how society is. We don't know, do you look at somebody in a wheelchair? Do you not? Do you open the door? Do you not, like, what?
I know.
I get these questions all the time, and I'm glad at least people feel open.
Yeah, that's good.
To ask me, because people don't know, and the truth is, I don't have a magical answer either for them. I think it's better to ask, because some people have fought so hard for their independence that they get offended. I do too.
I'll just tell people, "No, you don't need to help me. I'm practicing." Like, if I'm at the store and someone wants to grab something for me. You don't want to get too upset, though, and, you know, it's really a hard, and they got to judge the situation, though. Every situation's going to be a little bit different, and, you know, some people maybe can realize they shouldn't ask, and I don't know. It's a tricky situation. It definitely is. I don't know.
It is, yeah, and I just try to make it more inviting, so it's not as...
So, you know, also, I wanted to talk about, this is a good opportunity to bring up, you know, I wanted to ask, before we move on, your favorite outfit of that, or one of your, something that you wear, that you love, that you feel beautiful, absolutely great in, and, like, something that, you know, you would love to wear again. Like, what's an outfit that you have in your closet right now? Something that girls out there could maybe put together.
Oh, goodness, I mean, I love dresses. I do, but it's got to be the right day. I think girls will identify with me. I mean, I got to feel, like, not too bloated, but I have this beautiful dress, and it's short, it's fitted. It makes me feel very sexy and womanly.
Yeah.
I show off my legs and be proud of them. They're totally... They look nothing like they used to look, but I accepted them after this time. So I think it's just being proud of that and not hiding anything.
I love the dresses, too. I love, in that culture, you know, there's a lot of cute little dresses. Girls wear the cute little dresses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And I think, and I am always afraid to wear the cute little dress, but I've started to do that, too. And you feel really great in them, you know? You do. It's fun. I wish there were more opportunities in life to wear a little dress.
Yeah, I mean, if I have a lot of transfers, the way I do my transfers, they won't work. But if I'm going to, like, a cocktail party, it's perfect, just one transfer.
Right.
I could not wear a dress and be doing, you know, bouncing around and going all these places.
Yeah.
It won't work. So it's got to be, as I'm saying, it's got to be the right day, the right occasion. Otherwise, I usually just go with jeans.
Do you spray tan your legs? Because I recently started spray tanning my legs, and I'm loving it. My legs look great.
No, I don't. You know, I do try to get some sun.
Yeah.
But no, I don't.
Yeah, your legs do look good though. It's fun. Isn't it, like, great just to know that Well, you know, it sucks that you can't walk, but, you know, at least you can still look fabulous, you know. I think that feels good still.
Yeah, I think it always helps anybody. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying, because there's some things that you can't change, so obviously we cannot change the fact that I can't change the fact that my legs don't work or that I can't exercise my legs, etc., but I can definitely play up my outfit and feel good about that, so that kind of, you could still do something.
What color dress is this dress that you love?
Oh, it's a black dress.
Cute.
It's a little black dress.
Well, you inspired my outfit that I bought when I went to this wedding a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to pick out a really cute reception dress, and I saw this dress that you wore in one of your photos. It was a cute, I think, a black strapless dress, and you had this really huge, beautiful necklace on, because when you wear, you know, a strapless dress, it's a great opportunity to wear a really great necklace, you know? I think you had a belt on. It was just very cute, and your figure looked great still. So I went out to the mall and got a strapless dress, and it worked out it worked out really good, except since I'm, you know, it's hard to keep the thing up, and I can't do my finger pinch, so it's hard for me to, like, grab the top of the dress and pull it up.
Yeah, I know, that would be hard.
Yeah, so I had to, like,
I'm sure you look fabulous.
I had to keep checking it just to make sure it wasn't moving down. So anyways, but that was really fun. So I want to talk to you before we end this awesome interview. You're doing this really great thing with Berkeley Bionics. You're an ambassador for Berkeley Bionics for their e-legs, which I don't want to mess up their actual official title. They're mechanical legs or a walking suit. What's the actual term for them?
I mean, I would just refer as an exoskeleton.
Exoskeleton.
I don't want to get on the technical.
Exoskeleton. That's the word, right? So that's a really awesome exoskeleton that runs on, like, batteries or.
Yes, batteries.
Oh my gosh! So.
Kind of like a suit. So I mean, National Geographic just referred to them as a. This suit is made for walking.
Oh,
it's so cute.
That's so cute.
You basically, if you want to, I can try to give you a visual of how I get on it. I would transfer to another chair. And the exoskeleton e-legs is already there with the legs spread out so that I can, you know, transfer and then just strap on. It's actually really easy to strap on.
So the legs are on a bed, like, laid out in front of you?
No, it's sitting, it's like resting on a chair.
Oh, okay.
You transfer to the chair, and this is already there. You kind of put sort of like your backpack, like a backpack.
Cool.
Then you strap on your legs, and then an abdominal binder, which really helps me.
Yeah.
You know, for blood pressure.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Standing.
So you just strap on. And then they power you up.
Wow.
And my standing's actually really smooth. I've gotten to the point where someone's always there, but I don't really need them to, like, hold me or anything. I stand pretty smoothly.
Cool.
And to me, like, my experience with e-legs and the journey, walking, let's say, quote-unquote, been a really special one. I'll just make a quick reference. So I went to Mexico. I swear to God, in my head, I was going to come back through the airport walking. I didn't picture myself as a graceful walker, but I picture myself walking as my family, you know, was waiting for me. Of course, that did not happen. So I was pretty crushed, but not, like, crushed enough to, like, not go forward with life, you know. But, I mean, that dream is something that I thought I need to give up so that I can go back to school and just do what I can do. So I don't regret doing that. I'm very, very grateful for just going back to college, getting my degree and all of that. But then walking came into my life and at a perfect time, and it just helped me. I actually graduated in December, and then I heard about e-legs. I didn't really know they existed.
Right.
I didn't know the technology was here. At all. And when I first found out about it, it was through a patient. I thought it was the coolest thing. I Googled it, and then a friend of mine told me, hey, would you be interested?
No way.
Trying it out. I can give you their contact. And then the coolest thing is that I'm really short, well, that's not the coolest thing. The cool thing is that because I was short, I was able to test the device because they needed it tested on a short.
Oh, my.
Participant. So all of a sudden, I became really interesting because I was short. And I came on not even knowing if the suit would fit me.
Oh.
We found out, yeah, it fits.
Wow.
I was 5'2". I was able to walk. And I, you know, I was so excited, but I didn't know what to expect because we didn't even know if I was going to be able to walk. So I got up, and then we're like, okay, it's looking like it's going to work. I've stood up before in therapy in my standing frame.
Right.
That wasn't so new, but it's always nice to stretch.
Yeah.
But the minute I started to see, I was scared. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was scared that I was going to fall.
Well, can I stop you for a second? What, you know, when you stand up in it, it's always weird when you stand up on a standing frame because you can't feel your legs. So you have to look down and kind of check where your legs are at.
Yes.
Was it that way too in this? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's something I was going to mention. It was weird. Not standing so much because, like I said, I've done that before. But when I started to see, I mean, I had to see to believe because it's weird not knowing that your foot is on the ground.
I know.
And that they're moving, but yet they are.
Yeah.
So it was really cool seeing them. It was the first time in over 5 years that I got to see them take a step and, like, my knee actually bend.
Wow.
And, like, go and actually go forward.
That's crazy.
Not just, like, see them, but go forward and advance a few steps.
Wow. And was it hard to balance in it then? Or when you're standing up all by yourself, did it feel like, you know, you were standing up independently? Or?
It wasn't very hard. I started off with a walker, so that gives you more balance, you know? And, I had somebody right there, and they're telling me what to do. You just have to balance and, I guess, shift your weight. So, even with me being a T2, we found out, I mean, it's great. It's great information for them and for me to see that someone my level can actually do pretty well. So I've gotten to a point where, you know, I moved from the walker to crutches.
Right.
I've tried HMI. HMI is a human machine interface.
Yeah.
My slang would be the smart crutches, so they have the sensors.
Yeah.
If anybody's seen their videos, you see Amanda, and she's on HMI, so the, you know, when you put down a crutch, then it reads the sensors.
Oh, cool.
To the computer, so then the computer knows to take a step and
vice
versa.
Wow.
And that's really cool. It's very, believe it or not, it really does feel pretty free.
Really?
You're on your own. You know, it's like, it's all you. Your movements dictate the other movement, of course, with the help of Elix, but it's really cool.
Wow.
Like, you no longer have to have somebody pushing, you know?
Right.
And it's really neat to see that somebody my level can get up.
Did you wish you could take it running?
Oh, I would love to. I mean, it's really fun to daydream on.
Oh man, that would be great. You could put it on like a jogging speed and go up for a jog in the morning.
Yeah, because I mean, this is just the beginning. You know, like it's just amazing. I didn't know 5 years ago, or when I got hurt, actually almost 6 years ago. I never heard of anything like this.
No.
Know that it's here and it's real and tangible and. And I have the amazing opportunity to try it. It means so much, but it makes me, I mean, I can't wait for what's going to come.
Well, what is it going to, what are they, what's their future plans for it at the present moment?
I can't really talk too much about their future plans, but, I mean, if people are interested, visit our website. And
is there
have a contact form, and that's, we send people updates, we have our newsletter.
Okay, so that's good, so people can see, you know, because there's probably people out there wanting to know when they can buy it, you know.
Right, and then, well, it's scheduled for 2013, the personal version.
Okay, it is, all right, that's good to know, that's one thing.
But all of that information is on our website, and we also have our Facebook page. People can definitely go on there, and if they have any questions, and either we can, you know, somebody in customer relations can, we'll get back to them. We're very, very speedy. We're attentive to everybody's questions, and because we know, I mean, I would want to know too, and you know, it's great for me to work for them because I'm able to share my experience as a wheelchair user. It's been really amazing because sometimes we even talk about things related just to spinal cord injuries. Maybe not about Elix, but you know, we prefer each other. So
no, and you know,
to work for them.
Do you think the e-legs would be something someone would want to would use all day long, or do you think they'll like their future end up use? What do you think they'll end up being used for at the end of the day? Do you think people will want to wear them all the time?
I think people would want to wear them, like especially the professional. I'm sorry, the personal version.
Yeah.
A professional is just, you know, in a medically supervised environment, so just therapy, that kind of thing, which is awesome, because yeah. If you can go from walking to walking, maybe not walking the same way, but you're
right.
Walking, that's pretty awesome.
Cool. And would you have to be worried about your skin?
It's a personal, definitely, and I mean, even if you weren't able to use it all day long,
mm-hmm.
You know, say your schedule, it gets in the way, because I understand, like, we're all really speedy with our wheelchairs, and that's something we definitely cherish.
Yeah.
So if it's going to slow you down, but if you could do like some hours, I think that would be awesome. You know,
can you sit down in it, like go to a chair and sit down?
Right. Now, well, I mean, you get up from a standing position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, from a sitting down position. Then
yeah.
You go up and stand, and then you can sit down. Yeah, like if you want to take a break.
Yeah. Could you walk into a car and sit down in a car and get out wearing it?
No, not right now. There's a lot of things that I'm pretty sure that it's capable, but
it's just a matter of doing it, yeah.
Yeah, I really can't say what it's going to do in the future.
Okay, well, you know.
What I can do now is you can definitely take breaks and sit down.
Cool.
And as far as driving, that's ahead. We definitely are considering all of that.
Wow. Or making it, is it pretty big, you know? Can you see what you're wearing underneath it? Would it totally ruin your outfit?
No, not totally. If you have a binder, like I like binders because it helps me.
Yeah.
So I guess that will kind of cover part of your shirt.
Yeah, well, whatever, right? It's just you're walking. That's the most important part.
Yeah, but I mean, you could see your jeans. You can see your top. I mean, so no, it won't totally ruin it. Oh. I think it'd be a pretty cool looking outfit.
So the future is going to be like super small version of the e-leg that you can kind of fit underneath your clothes.
Yeah, and then my hope is that, you know, it'll be like, kind of like, you know how wheelchairs are now? They're totally customizable, and you can add colors and this and that.
Oh my God, that would be so awesome.
I mean, that's, you know, my hope. I don't know. But
isn't it, are you worried? I would be worried, though, not being able to feel my foot. Like, if I'm walking, and you know, what if, like, something turns, and then you don't know, and you have to, like, be really aware, I suppose, all the time of your legs, you know?
Yeah.
I would be paranoid is all I'm saying. I would just be worried that since I can't feel them, I would always want to see stopping like every 5 minutes to check my...
Yeah, and you know, the really cool thing for me, I want to share, mm-hmm. I used to just look down, you know, I mean, I would, first of all, I would hold on to that walker like, oh my gosh, you know, for my dear life.
Yeah.
But now it's I don't have to have that grip because I trust the divides and I'm used to it. The other really cool thing is I used to have to always look down, which actually I think threw my balance off, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But now the coolest thing is I actually feel pretty comfortable
really? Looking
up, and I actually feel more comfortable, and now I've gotten, like I have a sense now of where my body is.
That's great.
It's pretty cool because it gives me the sense that I kind of forgot I could still have. So I kind of know, you know, I feel my obliques working a little more.
Whoa.
So I'm getting a sense, like I'm communicating now more with my body, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that's so cool. And do you feel, do you get dizzy at all when you're walking?
It depends on my day. Personally,
yeah.
I mean, this is because of my level.
Yeah.
And, you know, my whole blood pressure issues.
Yeah.
I have some really good days where I don't get dizzy at all
right. And
no low blood pressure. And I have some days that ever since I wake up, you know, my blood pressure's on the low side. So those days will be a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Just because. But if I wear the binder and that sort of thing, that helps me. It just depends on the day.
Cool. Well, and also, you were on Sábado Gigante, which is the really cool Univision program that's on, what, Saturdays?
Yeah, it's on every Saturday. It's been running for, like, 5 decades. So
it's an epic show. It's, like, a famous show, and you were on there just to talk about your story.
Yeah, and the segment was called Si Se Puede.
Oh, so Yes You Can?
Yeah, Yes You Can. And it basically was inspiring people. It was definitely centered on academic achievements. So we talked about me graduating from college with highest honors and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it really can translate
it's
into
so cool, though.
More than school, you know. So I was very, very fortunate. I grew up watching this show and this TV host. It's
Domingo Francisco. What was Domingo Francisco like in person?
He was so nice. He was very, very kind. He was very touched, by, you know, after I shared my story, which he's like a jokester. He loves to joke.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see that side of him, you know, and I took a couple pictures with him after the
so
show.
Cool.
And it was really cute. He got really close to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a nice little on, but he was very nice. And when the cameras are on, I mean, he's on, he's like very alive and cheery and...
That's
really cool.
That's so cool. You know, life is so crazy. You know, in a million years, would you ever thought you'd ever be on Sabado Gigante? I mean, you know, it's crazy.
No, growing up, I never thought I would either, by any means. And then as I got older, and seeing some of the stories that they share.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really visualized myself.
On the CC Puede show? Oh, they
I knocked on their doors. It's important to say.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think, like, oh, all these opportunities, like, just come to Tamara, like, out of the blue. I've seriously fought hard to make them happen. I contacted them, and that, to me, it's so...
Yeah.
I could say, oh, yeah, they contacted me, but
no.
I contacted them, and they liked my story. They get a ton of emails, so the fact that they responded to me and followed through in that type of segment, you know, just the title says everything.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and, you know, people need to see it, you know, that people with disabilities can still live full, really good lives, you know, even if they can't walk, and it's good, I think, for everyone to see that, you know, and Univision reaches
I think it's great. It kind of saddens me that we don't see that many people on TV in wheelchairs.
It's a travesty, and I'm just sick and tired of people being uncomfortable around people in wheelchairs. Can't we just get over it already? Let's be honest, you know?
I know.
It drives me crazy.
But hopefully with, you know, the more and more... I mean, I really feel, I don't know, even in my own community, when I got hurt, I felt like it was more of a, I don't know, people... I think are getting more comfortable, and I think all of us in the, you know, disabled community, spinal cord injury community, I think we're all fighting so hard for this integration.
Yeah.
I think we're doing a great job. I think we've grown so much, you know, years back. So I'm thankful for everybody who's, you know, out there trying to. We're all trying to do the same.
Yeah, we're all just trying to do the best we can. And I once met this lady. She's like, I go out in public and I hold my head up high because I want to make a difference for the next girl that comes up behind me who is also in a wheelchair who's got to go through the same thing, you know. Maybe my struggle can make it easier for the next person that comes along, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, for me, I had great peer support, but I never had a really close young female.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish I would have had someone I could talk to that I could really feel I could relate to. Now with social media and all that stuff out there, it's so nice. You can talk to people that, that you can actually relate to.
I know, and that's what I love about it, too. It's helping me. It helps me. If I didn't have the stuff the girls I talked to, the girls that I've met all these years through online social media, I'd just be lonely, you know, and it's critical. And that's why, you know, I do this podcast even. It's just if people out there can know that people out there relate to you and then we understand what you're going through, you know.
I'm hoping my story or any of
your story
help other people.
Tamara, your story is beautiful, and I think your story is a true story of survival, and just like you're like a phoenix rising from the ashes, you know. And I wish I could meet you one day. If I'm ever in California, I'm gonna totally ring you up, because I this is a really great community, spinal cord injury community out there in California. It's a good support scene, it seems like, isn't it?
Yeah it is, although I feel I think we could do a better job. I'm not in the Bay Area. I'm in like Central California, and it's a little limited, but Southern California has an amazing.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Theirs is amazing. I wish I was down there.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, we do. I think we can all do a better job to reach out to other people.
Yep, and online is the best way to start, you know. I it's great, and so... But thank you, Tamara, for being on the show, and, you know, I wish you... tons of success, and now that you're out of school, we'll have to have you back and talk about what you're future plans are and everything else. Gosh, I wish we've talked about so much today.
I know. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to me. And
yes.
I think next time I'll have more. You know, I'm a recent graduate, so I'll have more stories to share. Another aspect that would be important career-wise for people going back to work. There's so many myths. So many things that we don't know about, so I would love to come back.
And that would be a great topic. We'll do a show about careers and, like, you know, and what, you know, how we can.
I was scared to go back to war from all the stuff I heard.
That's a great idea.
We can be just as successful, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tamara. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.